I'd like to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and sure am appreciative of the opportunity to come before you all again and try and lay out what the Lord has put on my heart. For those of y'all that have your Bibles with us, please turn to Acts chapter 9, and we'll be beginning with the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the trembling and astonished said the Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And I'd like to stop my reading there for a while, and I'd like for us to think about Paul and what a key role and a key ministry he played. And in fact, he was accredited, according to some sidetrack reading I've done, he was accredited for writing Romans all the way through Philemon. His scriptures are still in work today. He's still ministering to this world, even though he's no longer with us. I really do believe that. But Paul was a different character. A lot of what we read about in the Bible, and a lot of things that stood to my mind, we read about these good men and these upright men that God has a use for. You know, Noah found grace in the sight of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Job was an upright and a perfect man in the sight of the Lord. Saul persecuted the church. Saul watched those who would preach in the name of Jesus put to death. He was content with these things. The thought I wanted to share with you tonight, y'all have to bear with me. I know y'all have already heard a lot of it this morning, but I already knew what I had to bring tonight before I ever heard it this morning. I hope it'll complement something that was said earlier. But Paul was not a perfect and an upright man in the sight of the Lord. Saul was a wicked man. He was a knowledgeable man. He was very smart. He was educated. But he had very little to no real knowledge of God. He didn't know him. And I do believe that God introduced himself to him in a way that no other man will ever in this world again see. So many of us, when we go to meet the Lord, well, we just meet him, and that it'll be standing before judgment. Paul actually had the opportunity to meet the Lord and then repent. And I think that what Paul experienced there was really a powerful thing to his ministry, because not only did he have scriptural knowledge of the Old Testament, but he also had an experience with God. He was He spoke with God. He heard an audible voice, and that made him a powerful asset to the Lord. Paul did, many good works through the power of God, from his preaching to his hands-on healing. Paul, on the island of, forgive me if I don't pronounce this right, Melita, he helped the chief's father. He prayed for him and laid hands on him, and through the power of the Lord, he healed his blood disorder. And I just thought that it was kind of neat to think about where Paul came from as a murderer and a persecutor of the Lord Jesus to one of the most profound ministries to have ever graced this world. But as I was getting to that, though, Paul had an opportunity to stand before God, and he was questioned of God, why persecutest thou me? And I know that most everybody here tonight is saved, but I have a thought I'd like to share with you and to bear in mind. What would you say to God tonight if he asked you, lost soul, why rejectest thou me? If you know God in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, at some point in your life, you saw yourself for what you were. You saw yourself the way God sees us. We weren't born into salvation. There are churches out there today that they'll kind of begin to tell you that, that Jesus had already paid the debt of sin and that, we're all good because it's already been paid. But how can there be forgiveness? How can we receive forgiveness if we never ask for it? It's backwards. It doesn't work that way. In order for us to receive forgiveness, the debt has been paid, but in order for us to be forgiven, we have to ask for it. We have to repent. We have to show that we're sorry. I don't know anybody's hearts here, and I sure wouldn't ever pretend I did, but we all need to know God in that pardon and forgiveness of sin. It's a magical feeling. We all have a different testimony. We have different stories, different locations, a different series of events for those of us who've been saved that have led up to that. Brother Doss, if I'm not mistaken, was saved in the fence row. I was saved on the altar here at this church when I was about 12 years old or so. I hear all these wonderful testimonies of salvation, but I don't hear enough. I don't know where everybody stands with the Lord. And one of the things I guess I was trying to get across tonight, there's a lot of us, I know I felt this way when I was lost, that I wasn't good enough to receive salvation. And I wasn't. And, it's kind of amazing the things that you'll come across and you'll tell God, I wasn't that bad of a kid, or, I've been fairly honest. I've not, took up with many of the things of this world. I've left a lot of that alone. And it's once you see yourself for what you are, if you could see yourself as Saul before he met Jesus, if you could see yourself the way God sees us, there wouldn't be much bargaining left. I often wonder if when we stand before the great white throne of grace, as we stand before God in judgment, we're going to give an account of our deeds, both good and evil. And we already know that no amount of good we do in this life will ever outweigh the bad, nor no good deed will ever earn us a ride into heaven. But where do we stand? Do you have a peace in your heart when the song Amazing Grace plays? Does something tug at you? Do you know tonight where you stand? Paul's ministry was very powerful. He had He had a certain inspiration. He had a hunger to do good work for the Lord. Saul didn't, but Paul did. When Saul met Jesus and he heard him in an audible voice and he came to know him there shortly after, I believe that Paul repented. I believe that Paul was sorry for what he'd done. And I believe that Paul took that same, he had a certain aggression about him. Paul was very passionate about what he put his effort into. As he persecuted the church, there was none greater. I mean, he really got after Christians. He tried everything he could to disperse the church, to keep the teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ, to keep it spread out and not going forward. But thankfully, after coming to know Jesus, Paul took that same aggression and that same zeal, and he put it to good works. And that's what we all can do once we know to come. Once we come to know Jesus, you know, we have that great need. You can't serve a master that you don't even know. Paul, you know, he thought he was doing something for the Lord. Paul was knowledgeable of the Scriptures. You know, he just didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. In his mind, I'm sure he thought that he was doing the right thing. Boy, he wasn't. But once he came to know Jesus, knowing Jesus put him in a better direction. He became Paul went from being a tool of destruction and being hell bound to being an instrument of God and heaven bound. Isn't it amazing what you can do if you know the Lord inside? You take Paul called himself, he said he felt as if he were the chief of all sinners for what he'd done. You can take what you would feel would be the lowest form on earth and wash it in the blood of the Lamb, and now you've got something special. But you know, thing that was on my mind the most tonight, I sure do have a desire to see people get saved. I want people to realize, to come to know where they stand with God. This is not a guessing game. This is a real thing. There's a lot of churches we can go to today, and they'll tell you whatever they think that you would like to hear, whatever will keep you coming back. You know, the truth's not always easy. It's not always fun telling the truth. But we are an eternal bound people. And there's two places we get to go when we leave this world. We have life. We have death. We have the judgment. And we have the eternity. And the eternity is one or the other. There is not an in-between. There is not a rest stop. It is heaven or hell. And I came here tonight to beg and plead with you. If there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, somebody that's never really repented of their sins, I want you to have this thought tonight. If God came to you tonight, if this was the last day, if time was going to cease to be, and he began to question you in an audible voice, right up front, face to face with your Maker, how could you respond? If you know the Lord, I don't know what I'll say in the judgment. I'll apologize for everything I've ever done, I guess. But I apologize good enough one time he saved my soul. And that'll be it for me. You know, I'm thankful that I can call heaven my home tonight. But it wasn't nothing special about me, you know. It was something that it's free. It's freely given to all those who would ask. And that's why, you know, I have a great desire. You know, I wish I knew there were lost people. I wish I knew more people that were here that I could beg them, and I would. Boy, I sure would beg them tonight. You know, it's going to be sad for those people who don't really know the Lord. when he comes to him and asks him, you know, why did you reject me? Ask yourselves tonight, how would you respond tonight if a light shined down from heaven and an audible voice was speaking to you? How would you respond to the Lord? Do you know Him in your heart tonight? Or is it a mystery? Would you have to ask Him, who is this that's speaking to me? Paul was lucky, like I said, you know, he had an encounter with the Lord and got to repent afterwards. That's not going to happen anymore. It'll never happen again in this world. The next time we have an encounter with Jesus, the next time He speaks in an audible voice, there's not going to be more time. There's not going to be an opportunity to repent then. I'm afraid it'll be everlasting too late. Y'all pray for me. But more importantly, y'all pray for those who don't know Jesus. I'm thankful for what I felt earlier this morning in the service. I'm thankful that I have a knowledge when I leave this world I have someplace better to go. It sure wasn't because I earned it. And I'm hopeful that there's going to be a great deal of people going with me. I already know a good portion of you are going because I've heard your testimonies and I sure could feel it. But I sure wished everybody'd come because it's going to be sad and sorrowful for those who don't trust in God. Y'all pray for the lost. I'm going to bring this message to a close and turn the service back over to Brother Miller. I thank you for another opportunity and thank you for your prayers and ask y'all to continue to pray for me because, you know, whenever we do something we ain't supposed to do or whenever we allow ourselves to get in the way of a good sermon, you know, it shows. And I know 2 weeks ago that I was not doing what I needed to do as far as my studies and my praying. And it was embarrassing. But I guess we need that from time to time. Try and help us get back on track to where we need to be. I guess that was, in a way, my audible voice to get my act together. Thank y'all for coming.